The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today's stories include Swing's Return to Wall Street, Oil Up After Russia Sanctions, and Target Boosts Starting Wage Range to as much as $24 per hour. Markets quivered Monday amid worries about how high oil prices will go and how badly the global economy will get hit after the U.S. and allies upped the financial pressure on Russia for its invasion of Ukraine. Stocks swung up and down several times, leaving the major indices mixed. Investors herded into bonds in search of safety, pushing yields sharply lower, and the value of the Russian ruble plunged to a record low. The S&P 500, which had been down as much as 1.6%, recouped much of its losses to finish 0.2% lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.5%, and the NASDAQ Composite rose 0.4% after coming back from a 1.1% slide. The volatile trading followed Western allies' move over the weekend to block some Russian banks from a key global payment system. The U.S. Treasury Department also announced new and powerful sanctions against Russia's central bank. The Biden administration said Germany, France, the U.K., Italy, Japan, European Union, and others will join the U.S. in hitting Russia's central bank, which said the Moscow Stock Exchange would remain closed Monday. Stocks on Wall Street trimmed their losses through the morning, at one point flipping to modest gains after big tech stocks and others that benefit most from low interest rates rallied. The war in Ukraine is raising expectations that the Federal Reserve may have to take it more slowly in its campaign to raise interest rates in order to fight inflation. Other markets showed more fear about the rising antagonism between Russia and the U.S. and its allies. Oil prices on both sides of the Atlantic climbed more than 3% amid concerns about what will happen to crude supplies because Russia is one of the world's largest energy producers. That's increasing the pressure on the already high inflation squeezing households around the world. In search of safer returns, investors plowed into U.S. government bonds, which drove the yield of the 10-year Treasury down about 0.15 percentage points to 1.83%, its biggest drop since the Omicron coronavirus variant first rattled investors. Gold rose 0.7%. The gyrations are just the latest sharp swings for markets, which were relaxing in relief just on Friday, in part on thoughts that sanctions against Russia weren't as severe as they could have been. More sharp turns are likely in the hours and days ahead, given all the uncertainty about the war. Right now, the situation is fluid and investors are looking for the next shoe to drop, said Barry Bannister, chief equity strategist at Stifel. The pressure on Russia isn't coming only from governments. London-based energy giant BP said Sunday it would dump its investment in Rosneft, a Russian energy company. BP has held a nearly 20% stake in Rosneft since 2013, and its shares listed in London fell 3.9%. The S&P 500 fell to 10.71 points to 4,373.94. The Dow, which had dropped 589 points, ended down 166.15 points to 33,892.60. The NASDAQ rose 56.77 points to 13,751.40. The Russell 2000 index of small company stocks also bounced back from an early slide, adding 7.16 points or 0.4% to 2,048.09. The markets had already been on edge before Russia's invasion, worried about upcoming hikes in interest rates by the Federal Reserve, which would be the first since 2018. Fed Chair Jerome Powell is scheduled to testify before Congress later this week, where he could offer clues on the path for interest rates. A report on Friday will also show whether strength in the U.S. jobs market continued in February, which would give the Fed more leeway to raise rates. This situation is throwing the inflation question into a little bit of a tailspin, said Greg Bassick, CEO of AXS Investments. The eyes are going to be on Powell to see the extent to which the Fed believes these geopolitical events could impact their timing and extend their rate hikes. The Fed is caught on a narrow tightrope, needing to raise rates enough to stamp out high inflation, but not by so much as to choke the economy into a recession. Higher rates also put downward pressure on all kinds of investments, from stocks to cryptocurrencies. Given the uncertainty surrounding Ukraine, investors have sharply pared back bets the Fed will raise rates in March by double the usual increase. Traders are now forecasting just a 10.4% chance of that, according to CME Group. A day earlier, they were pricing in a 24% probability. Expectations are that central banks are going to take a somewhat slower and more cautious approach as a result of this crisis, so that provides a positive offset for risky assets, Jonas Goldman, senior global markets economist at Capital Economics, said in an online briefing Monday. Energy stocks in the S&P 500 jumped 2.6%. Defense-related companies also gained, with Lockheed Martin up 6.7%. Financial analysts say wars and other such scary geopolitical events tend to have only a temporary effect on markets, perhaps lasting weeks or months. But in the moment, fear is nevertheless still higher. Putin's order that Russian nuclear weapons stand at increased readiness to launch ratcheted up tensions with Europe and the U.S. and revived dormant fears from the Cold War era. Next, Target boosts starting wage range to as much as $24 per hour. Target employees may soon earn as much as $24 an hour when they start work. Depending on job position and market, Target will offer $15 to $24 an hour to workers, the company announced Monday. The Minneapolis-based company's pay structure drew national attention several years ago when it became one of the first retailers to signal it would lift starting wages to the $15 hourly level that labor activists for years considered an important threshold. Target said it would also expand its full health care benefits to more workers and reduce the waiting time for new employees to be eligible for benefits. Next, BP shares drop as investors weigh cost of Russia exit. BP shares fell about 5% as investors weighed the cost of its decision to exit Russia against the reputational benefits of ending the controversial alliance with Rosneft. The London-based company warned that it could take a write-down of as much as $25 billion as a result of quitting Russia over President Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine. Several analysts predicted a financial hit on that scale was the most likely outcome, as economic sanctions imposed by the West make it hard to find a buyer. Yet BP's quick decision removes other risks, such as the reputational damage from its partnership with a Kremlin-controlled company and questions about how Russian oil and gas fits in with its pledge to pivot to clean energy. While BP's stake in the Kremlin-controlled oil producer had a lot of symbolism, marking the continuation of three decades of operating in the country, in some practical ways, the alliance was shallower than it appeared. While BP reported its share of Rosneft production, reserves, and profit for accounting purposes, it didn't have direct stakes in any of Rosneft's fields, nor physical access to the hydrocarbons they produced. BP's principal financial benefit from the stake was to receive a dividend, which last year was $640 million and in 2020 was zero. BP's total operational cash flow in 2021 was $23.6 billion. Sunday's surprise move from the British company was the latest sign of how far Western powers are willing to go to punish Putin. BP has been in Russia for three decades and just weeks ago was staunchly defending its presence there. But it was coming under growing pressure from the UK government over the alliance with Rosneft. CEO Bernard Looney was summoned by UK Business Secretary Kwasi Kwarteng to explain the company's Russian links last week. Kwarteng welcomed BP's move on Sunday. Looney will also resign with immediate effect from the Russian company's board, as will his predecessor, Bob Dudley. BP will also exit its other business in Russia, which include three joint ventures with a carrying value on its books of about $1.4 billion. The company didn't say whether it was planning to sell its roughly 20% stake in Rosneft or simply walk away. Any potential buyer would have to navigate a tightening web of economic sanctions that would make any transaction extremely difficult. BP has a longer history in Russia than many of its peers. It was one of the first Western oil majors to establish a presence in Russia after the collapse of the Soviet Union. Next, Toyota idling all Japan plants due to system outage. Toyota will suspend output at all of its Japan factories Tuesday, following disruptions to its supplier systems, marking another setback for the world's top auto producer. Toyota's March 1st stoppage is due to a system disruption at Kojima Press Industry, which caused the supplier to halt operations, Toyota spokeswoman Shihori Hashimoto said Monday. The Nikkei newspaper reported earlier that the Aki Prefecture-based parts makers' operations were down because of a cyber attack. The incident hinders Toyota's efforts to return to full production following factory halts in January and February because of chip shortages and COVID-related disruptions. Toyota, which has been relatively resilient to supply chain snags through most of the pandemic, has been trying to ramp up production to make up for lost output and meet soaring global demand for new vehicles. It's hard to believe the timing of this for Toyota, said Bloomberg Intelligence analyst Tatsuo Yoshida, The auto industry has been focused completely on part shortages, but this is a reminder that cyber attacks are a serious risk that must be constantly monitored. The website for Kojima Press, which makes metal, plastic, and electronic components, wasn't accessible late Monday. A representative for the company couldn't be reached outside of normal business hours. The system outage is also affecting Toyota's affiliates. Hino Motors, in suspending all of its Japan plants, the bus and truck makers said Monday. Daihatsu is suspending its Kyoto factory, the Nikea reported. Cyber attacks have risen in Japan in recent years. Authorities identified 12,275 cyber crime cases in the country last year, a record high, according to Japan's National Police Agency. Japan's manufacturing industry is the largest target for crimes such as ransomware attacks. Toyota said February that it was planning to produce 950,000 vehicles in March, up from the 843,393 a year ago. A one-day stoppage for Toyota's factories in Japan translates to roughly 13,000 vehicles, according to Hashimoto. The company operates 28 assembly lines at 14 plants in Japan. Toyota's production fell 15% in January as the company halted output in the Chinese city of Tianjin when the government carried out multiple rounds of mass testing on residents. Earlier this month, some of Toyota's North American operations were affected by protests that shut some of the main trade routes between the U.S. and Canada. The disruptions in the first month of the year prompted Toyota to cut its output goal for the fiscal year through March to 8.5 million vehicles from a previous target of 9 million. The company is investigating whether it can resume operations from Wednesday, Hashimoto said. Next, chaos in commodities as Russia's war on Ukraine upends trade. The turmoil unleashed in commodity markets by Russia's invasion of Ukraine worsened on Monday as LNG orders were paused, finance for trade and raw materials dried up, and Black Sea wheat sales froze. As tougher U.S. and European sanctions threatened to partly cut Russia off from the global financial system, disruptions to shipments of raw materials from palladium to wheat mounted. Buyers also paused purchases of Russian liquefied natural gas as they awaited clarity on restrictions against banks and companies. The cost of shipping the nation's raw materials is soaring, while the fallout is reverberating from London to Hong Kong as international investors ditch Russian commodities assets. The immediate focus is on disruption to Black Sea trade, which includes millions of barrels of oil a day and about a quarter of the world's grain exports. While Russian raw materials were so far exempted from sanctions, the threat of a severe dislocation to flows will increase as the conflict escalates. Unintended consequent risk, meaning a pipeline outage or something like that, is extraordinarily high, and this is on top of the difficulty of getting the seaborne trade up and running. Jeff Curry, head of the commodities research at Goldman Sachs Group Incorporated, said in an interview with Bloomberg TV, "This is an enormous amount of oil that has the potential to be disrupted for weeks." Even before the expulsion of some Russian banks from the SWIFT messaging system used for trillions of dollars worth of transactions around the world, a number of lenders were halting the finance of commodities trading from Russia. Societe Generale SA and Credit Suisse Group AG have stopped providing trade finance for Russia material flows, according to people familiar with the matter. Dutch banking giants ING Group NV and Rabobank are restricting lending to deals involving movement of commodities from Russia and Ukraine, and Chinese banks are also pulling back. That means that even without sanctions, many of the commodity markets in which Russian exports play a significant role are at risk of seizing up. As the war intensifies with ships bombarded last week, the risk of logistical turmoil is also increasing. Insurers are either refusing to offer cover for vessels sailing into the Black Sea or demanding huge premiums to do so. Grain loading in Ukraine has been halted with ports closed. More than 24 vessels in the midst of loading have been held up at Ukrainian ports, according to Nabil Mesidi, chief executive officer of AgFlow. Top wheat importer Egypt was forced to yet again ditch efforts to buy the grain it needs to subsidize bread for its people, highlighting the threat that the Russia-Ukraine war poses to the world's food needs. There were no offers from Black Sea shippers, and Egypt's state buyer cited higher prices for the tender cancellation. However, there are signs of oil traders starting to overcome an initial wariness of dealing with Russian supply that emerged immediately after the invasion. Poland's PKN Orlen bought a consignment of the nation's flagship Urals crude, while Trafigura Group provisionally hired a tanker to take the same grade. Traders said there was increased buying activity. That's not to say that the market has fully returned to normal, with a tender to sell Urals failing to proceed for a second time. Vladimir Putin's attack on his neighbor is also threatening to make Russia commodities toxic for international investors. Norway said it was starting to remove Russian assets from its $1.3 trillion sovereign wealth fund, while BP dropped after saying it would offload its stake in state-owned oil company Rosneft. While equity trading was halted in Moscow, MMC Norilsk Nickel PJSC, Russia's biggest metals and mining company, slumped as much as 58% in London. In Hong Kong, aluminum giant United Company Rusal International PJSC fell 15%. Rusal halted shipments at a Ukraine aluminum refactory that's a key source of raw material for its smelters in Russia. Ukrainian iron ore miner Ferrexpo PLC said Monday the availability of rail capacity to ship its pellets to customers in Europe was unclear. The London-listed company, which operates three mines in central Ukraine, said it's delaying the publication of its full-year results. There are sanctions carve-outs for Russian raw materials, but traders, bankers, and shippers fear those exemptions may not last. Commodity markets need to reflect not only these difficulties in paying for Russia's exports, but with little left to sanction, the risk that Russian commodities eventually fall under Western restrictions, Goldman analysts including Damian Corvalian and Curry said in a note dated February 27. The White House isn't ruling out a further extension of sanctions. Energy sanctions are certainly on the table, said White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, speaking on ABC's This Week on Sunday. European natural gas surged as much as 36% as the new round of sanctions spurred concerns about energy shortages. With Russian markets paralyzed and a heavy fighting reported around key cities in Ukraine, Putin's invasion looks set to underpin many commodities for some time. This reinforces that longer-term structural bull market in commodities, said Curry. Next, Germany may extend coal use to replace Russian gas. Germany is getting ready to prolong the use of coal as the country seeks to reduce its reliance on Russian energy in the aftermath of Moscow's invasion of Ukraine. Coal plants could run beyond 2030, when Germany currently targets an end for the fuel. But the ultimate goal is greater energy independence through renewable power, said Robert Habeck, Vice Chancellor and Minister for Economy and Energy. Energy policy is security policy, Habeck said on Monday, prior to talks with European Union counterparts. Strengthening our energy sovereignty strengthens our security. Therefore, we must first overcome the high dependence on Russian imports of fossil fuels. A warmonger is not a reliable partner. Germany, which gets more than half of its gas from Russia, has undergone a rapid shift in policy in reaction to the assault on Ukraine. Alongside a massive boost in defense spending, Chancellor Olaf Scholz announced on Sunday plans to build two new liquefied natural gas terminals, signaling a longer-term realignment of Germany's energy sector. Even before the invasion, Scholz halted the certification process for the Nord Stream 2 pipeline built to bring more Russian gas directly to Germany and bypass transit through Ukraine. Germany is now looking at short- and long-term measures to safeguard its energy market from any possible abrupt cutoff of Russian gas. Habeck, the former co-leader of the anti-nuclear Green Party, even said he wasn't ideologically opposed to extending the use of the country's last reactors, but safety is a concern. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I'm Pat Perry, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.